Rabosa, good vach, all is good. Today's daf is Yavama's daf Pei Beis. And we're in this middle of this big machlokas for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, three-way machlokas. Right? We had the Mishnah, if you remember from yesterday, had said that an androgynous who's a Kohen will allow his wife to eat truma. And we had the machlokas at the beginning of the Gemara, right? Whether that's truma or also all the other matnos kahuna, with Chazir Shok and all the gifts that a Kohen gets from a korban. And then we had the subsequent machlokas, right? We went back and forth with that a little bit. Then we had another machlokas as to whether truma nowadays is deraisa and derabanan. And then we got into the machlokas of es shadar kol limnos or kol shadar kol limnos, that whether when we say something is not batel, the davar shel minyan, something that's chashuv, is that something that is always sold by itself in a number, i.e. es shadar kol limnos, or that's something that's even something that's sometimes sold by itself individually, and that's kosher darkalim. So we had this whole machlokas here, and we quoted this. The Rabbi Yochanan used this brisa to kind of support his shita, and the brisa said like this: that if you have a chaticha shel chatas tameya, right? Again, it was a brisa about bittul. And if you have a piece of korban chatas that became tamei, and it got mixed with 100 pieces of chatas that's tahor, or same thing by lechem upon him, so then that is batel. Rabbi Yehuda says it is not batel. But if you have a piece of korban chatas that's tamei, that's tahor, they got mixed up with other pieces of meat that's not a korban, and same thing by lechem upon him, then everybody agrees it is not batel. So Rabbi Yochanan tried to use the first part of the brisa to teach me that it's batel. That if you see that you have a piece of meat from a korban that's tamei, he sees that it's batel, right? That seemed to prove es shadar kol limnos. So the Gemara says that actually no, that part is when binimucha, when it was melted, meaning it wasn't actual chash of a piece. It was the meat was melted or dissolved or whatever it was. So that's why it was batel. So that's where we left off. And then we're here on the last line, Ihachi, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. So the Shaila is, Ihachi, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? If you're telling me that the meat was melted away, it was liquefied or something, and it wasn't Chashiv, so why would it not be Batal, right? But the Tanakhama said it was Batal. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that it's not Batal? So a lot of this Gemara is used in Hilchos Kashrus. We're obviously not going to dive into that too much today, but let's just at least see what it says. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei d'amar min b'mino lo batel. This is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It says min b'mino lo batel. If you have two things that are similar taste, they are not batel. And just Tosfos is very important. Tosfos over here, we're not talking about solids. We're talking about liquids. Right? Now we're not talking about a case where, let's say, you have three hamburgers or three salamis, and one of them is treif, and two of them are not, right? So that he will agree that it's batel, right? If you look at the first Tosfos on Pei Beis, right? Dafkav Devarlach, Misarev, Israel Yehuda de lo batel. And just to explain a little bit, right? Usually when you have a concept of batel, what do you mean a concept of bittel? Something that is, let's say, milk falls into chicken soup. So if it's 60-1, we assume that the milk is batel, right, in the chicken soup, and then the chicken soup is kosher. What's the idea? The idea is that the milk is lost in the chicken soup. But according to this shita, if you tell me that lach balach, if it's the same type of item, meaning let's say you have kosher milk and treif milk, or let's say kosher chicken soup and treif chicken soup, so when the treif chicken soup falls into the kosher chicken soup, that item is not lost. It now becomes part, right? It's sort of theoretically enhanced, right, by the other flavor, as opposed to the milk. When it falls in, it's batel, you can't taste it. Rabbi the Chazal said that 61 you can't taste. So that would be Rabbi Yehuda's Shitas. I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's why Rabbi Yehuda himself would say that it's not batel, but if it's liquefied, so then the Tanakhama would hold that it is batel. So Gemara says, Aval lo nimu achmai, but if it wasn't melted or dissolved, so what would you say? So then it is pashut lo tala, right? It wouldn't become batel. So adatani aval achatira. So 1 second. So when the second part of the brisa says, right, aval so therefore, what do you need the second part of the brisa for? If you tell me that the implication is that if it wasn't melted, if the meat wasn't melted, it would not become batel, when you need a case to teach me that something will not become batel, why do you need to build this other case of where you have korban meat and regular meat? You could just use the example, the case we had. Right, when do we say that the tamei korban chatas is batel within other pieces of tahor korban chatas? That's bishinimucha. It's only if it's melted out. But if it's not liquefied, lo tala, then it's not batel. The Gemara says tahor is b'tahoros adivlei. It was better to teach the chiddush of tahor and tahor. Had some enichanami that both the halacha is the same in both of them, but tahor and tahor, right, is a greater chiddush that The Tohor and Tohor, that right, the Pashtus is that when, again, Tamei and Tohor, right, is a greater parallel to kosher and treif, but even Tohor and Tohor, right, you'll tell me in that scenario, if you tell me there's no bittul by Tohor and Tohor, that's a greater chiddush. But the Rish Lakish, Maishna Reishna, Maishna Seif, okay, but according to Rish Lakish, who says that we're not talking about when the meat is melted or dissolved, so what's the difference between the two cases? Right? Why, in the case of the Reisha, when it's Tomei Chatos and Tohor Chatos, why does that batel, according to Tanakama? And when it's Tohor Chatos and regular meat, that's Tohor, why is that not batel? So I'm Rav Shisha, the Reisha Batumas Mashkin Derabanan, and Seifa Deoraisa, because the cases, according to Reish Lakish, you have to say they're different. In the first case, we're talking about something that became Tomei Midrabanan, that Rashi says over here that there was a liquid that touched the Kli, and then the Kli touched the korban. But and that's the midrabanan. But seifa, I mean, really, liquids are usually not are usually midrabanan. Tamei midrabanan. So the same. The second part is midaraisa. That's a sheretz or something. I don't know, or tamei meis. So that is going to be not bata. So the Gemara says, "Well, tuma sheretz mai." But what do you mean? If it lo tala, you tell me that if it's midaraisa tuma. And it's tuma sheres, for example, it's not going to be batel at the time he saved us. The second part of the brisa, avachaticha shochadus dehoros and zavu mei chaticha shochulin dehoros lo tala. And again, the second part of that brisa, we tell me it's not batel if it's so, the chadus is tahor, meaning it's korban meat and regular meat is not batel. So the minister did die. You didn't even need that case. Same question. You don't even need that case. Hey, you should have just said b'med dvar mamurim b'tumas mashkin. That the it's only not it's only going to be batel if you're dealing with tuma midrabanan. But tuma sheretz lo, but tuma daraisa, right, is not going to be batel. So why do you have to come up with that tahor and tahor case? So Gemara says again, tahor b'taros adiflay. It's better. They preferred to say teach the chiddush of tahor and taros. Rabba Amar Rabba says that Risha and Isser Lav, but Sefer Isser Kares. That actually, the difference between when you have a chat, meat that is tame, right? Really, it, meaning we go back and we say that it is talking about melted and liquefied meat. Aye, so what do you need that case? Meaning, what's the difference between, why do you need to bring that case? Meaning, why do you have to come out to the Torah and Torah case? So really, the Reisha, what's the difference between the Halacha, between the Reisha and Seifa? Reisha is dealing with Nisar Lav, where it's only a case where who is Tamei? I always get this confused. Meaning that the right, meaning when the kachim itself is tamei and the person is tahor, so that's a nisr lav. But when the person is tamei and the korban is tahor, so then that is an nisr karis. So that's the difference. That's why we apply bittul in the first case and not in the second case. I've harapa hu da'amar, but when Rabba is the one who says that kobe deraisa lo shna nisr lav, lo shna nisr karis. And 1 second, whenever we're dealing with an nisr daraisa, right, there's no difference. Right? Why should you distinguish? We're talking about, you might have wondered, right? What's the difference? Who cares what the punishment is for the Isser? What's this kasha? That is, in fact, a good kasha. Okay, so Rav Ashi, Amar now, again, we had there are a couple answers here. Two more answers. Oh, no, I take it back. No, this is just something Rav Ashi says that we're just going to throw out afterwards. But Rav Ashi, Amar, Seifa, Mishun, Dehavile, Darashesh, Matir. So Rav Ashi wanted to explain that the difference between Reish and the Seifa is not a difference in Isser or a difference in, like, substance. But the second case is a Darashesh, Matir. I mean, when you have Tohor, Korban, Chatos, and the Tohor, and regular meat, right, that's not going to be batal because it's something called davar sheishon l'matirin, that something is eventually going to become a mutter. So there we're not mevatal something. Right? Very often that would come up, let's say, on Shabbos, where you have some sort of isser involved, but that's shaykh to Shabbos, so we're going to say that it's not batal. I guess something that, let's say, for example, something that's mukta or whatever, or something that's say is usher just for a few moments, right, something to eat. You know, some sort of isser. If that isser is going to become mutter, so then the item is not going to become batel. So therefore, I feel elef below batel. That's why in the second case of the brisa, it is not batel. So the Gemara says, "V'hadar Rav Ashi b'duzi," but that's actually a joke. That's not actually serious. Right? It's not actually a real shita because the man. Because what do you mean that tahor korban meat is a isser that's darashish l'matirin? It's something that will eventually become mutter. So ila kohen mishashari. For a kohen, it's already mutter. Ila yisrael lo olam aser. And for a regular yisrael, it's always aser. Meaning, it's nothing that's going to actually, in this case, that's actually going to end up becoming mutter. I say ela deravashi b'dusa. He must be that it's not showing. He was not serious. Okay. Now we said one again when one of the machlokes we mentioned that we had yesterday is whether truma nowadays is deraisa derabanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said it's deraisa, and Reish Lakish said it was derabanan. So the Gemara now questions that. The Sefer Rabbi Yochanan truma is banan, is it deraisa? Really, that's what he holds. We had this in Psachim, a couple times in Psachim. Okay, you have two boxes. One box has chulin, regular food. One box has truma. For the fnei shnei sa'im, and you have two sa'ah, you have two amounts of grain, just two piles of grain. Right, akash shel chulin, akash shel truma. Sure enough, one is chulin, one is truma. And nafu elu toch elu, and you come back, and all of a sudden, the piles of grain, right, are in the boxes. But you didn't see anybody put them in, and you don't know which is which. So, according to the Braisa, hare elu mutare, everything is fine. And the chulin box is fine, the truma box is fine, right? We assume that the truma went to the truma, the chulin went to the chulin. Shani Omer, truma l'toch truma nafla, chulin l'toch chulin nafla, we assume that everything lines up appropriately. V'amar Shlagish, Shlagish says, v'husha rabu chulin ala truma. Shlagish says, one second, it's only if the chulin is more than the truma, meaning that the stuff that was already in the box is more than the pile that was in front of the box, because we assume it was batel. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if it's not more chulin than truma, still we assume that one fell into the other. So Gemara says, "Bishlam the Reish Lakish." I understand Reish Lakish shita kasavar b'derabana nami ribuya hu b'derabana debeina. Because since truma nowadays is derabanan, so okay, all you need is a bitl barov. We're going to make sure you need a ribuya. You still need a rov, right? That we before we assume. Right, that the truma fell into the chulin, or everything. If the truma fell into the chulin, everything would be good. But other Rabbi Yochanan kasha. But why does Rabbi Yochanan require a roof? This guy says, "Hamani rabbanan." This is actually the rabbanan shita. Rabbi Yochanan says to you, "Vada damri Rabbi Yosi." Really, I hold a Rabbi Yosi. The truma is deraisa, but that is actually truma midrabbanan, and therefore he holds that he would agree with Reish Lakish Taka that in this scenario that the truma is midrabanan. One second, sorry. So we'll ask the question, right? Well, obviously we'll ask the question why he doesn't hold that he need a rove, but we'll get to that in a second. Okay, but really Rabbi Yochanan would say to you that ein chanami, that I agree that truma, according to this brisa, truma is midrabanan. V'ana damik Rabbi Yosi. But I, when I said earlier, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan himself agrees that truma is derabanan, but what he was saying before, right, on yesterday's daf, that was according to Rabbi Yosi. Right, the Tanya B'Seder Olam, because we learned in Seder Olam. Seder Olam is an interesting collection of prices that talks about literally the order of the world, right, the history of the Jewish people, etc. Asher Yerushu Avasecha V'Yerishta, that Kosh Baruch will bring us into the land and inherit it. Yerusha Rishona Shnia Yesh Lahem, Ushlishes Ein Lahem, that the first two times Bnei Yisrael came into the land, so that was Mekadesh the land, but Shlishes Ein Lahem, but not a third, meaning that the second time Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, that was Mekadesh it. La'olam, la'asid lavo. Rabbi Yochanan, man tam seder olam, Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi is the one who taught this, meaning that if you assume that the Kedusha that Bnei Yisrael came into second time was Mekadeshit, so then Truma nowadays would taka be still deoraisa. Okay, but now just getting back, right, if you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan really holds that this is Truma midrabanan, so why does he not hold that you need a rove of the chulin, right, when determining, right, again, you have two boxes, two piles fell into the boxes, everybody agrees that everything is fine. Rabbi Yochanan says, Reish Lakish says that because you need a rove, you need a majority, you need more chulin, regular food, than truma, because it's going to be batel barov. Rabbi Yochanan says, not necessarily, but they both hold that truma is derabanan, so why wouldn't he hold like that? So, sav Rabbi Yochanan, but derabanan lo binan ribuya, really, if you're holding with a din derabanan, you don't need a rove. V'atzna v'lo din mishnah, but mikvash yesh bo arboim saw mechuvanos, right? You have exactly 40 saw in a mikvah. Nasan savanatal saw, if you take a saw of other random liquid, right? A mikvah needs what's called mayim chayim, rainwater. So if you put a saw of other water in it, so usually there's something called a shaka that it connects and makes the mikvah 41 saw, but then if not al saw, then you took a saw out. Right, so then kosher, right, we assume that the mikveh is fine. Meaning Pasha says, right, you must have taken out some of the original water, right, when you took out the saw, right, because it mixes all around, but we still assume that it's fine. But Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Bar Shila, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan himself says, Ad Rubo, you can do that, right, put in one, take one out, put in one, take one out, until the majority, meaning you need to have, to make sure you have the majority of the original water still in there. Meaning you can do it up until 20 saw, you can do that 19 times, or 19.9 times, until you make sure you have the majority of the water in there. So my love, the Shtar Rubo does not mean you need to have the majority of the original kosher mikvah water in there. Of course, it's law, the low nishkal rubo. It means that you shouldn't take out a majority, but you can do exactly half, meaning that for exactly half, as Rashi says, for a dindra rabbanan is batel even up a rove, but in 50-50s. Okay, it's fine. So you can take it up to that. So Rabbi Yochanan would just disagrees on this point that for a dindra rabbanan, right, the bittul is 50-50, and Rabbi Yossi would require 51-49. And Reish Lakish would require 51-49. Or you could say a different reason, nothing to do with bittul, shiny hacha, the ikalamimar, shiny omer. So you have the concept of shiny omer over here. As we said before, I kind of alluded to it when I explained the first case, and this is what it's very unclear why we didn't just say this right away, but okay, if I'm not mistaken, we're sure to talk about it. But Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan over here is saying that we assume that the truma fell into the truma, and the chulin fell into the chulin. Right, that's the concept of Shani Omer. That we can say, we can assume that that's what happened. Fine. Now, 1 second. Good. Now we go to the Mishnah. Back to our original case. Right, we had, if you remember from the Mishnah, where we assume that an androgynous is a halachic male, right? And therefore, let's just get back to the mission. Let's go back to it. Right, we had a couple of opinions. I apologize. Right, we assume that a androgynous is a definite male, could be machal b'truma. And then we had said, Rabbi Elezer says that an androgynous is chayav of skila kezachar, meaning that if a person sleeps with an androgynous who is, again, has both male and female, so it's chayav skila for mishkav zachar. So it's not an androgynous no say. So we see the Mishnah seems to imply an androgynous marries, right, a woman, implying that he's a definite male, that he does marry a woman. And again, one of the things Reish Lakish said was that that they hold that an androgynous is a suffix. So the Gemara says, Tani Imnosa. So according to that understanding, right, really, you would have to write the Mishnah as Imnosa, that if he marries a woman, not that he definitely marries a woman, but if he marries a woman, right, it's not an actual marriage, but it's enough of a marriage to require a get, right, if the woman wanted to leave. So the Gemara says, I have Hanasi Katani, but that's not what it says. So Gemara says, okay, according to that, my Avalonisa, what does it mean, but he cannot be married? Meaning, what does that mean? So that seems to imply, that doesn't mean to imply that it's a suffix. So Ella my Nisa Dievet. Right? So no say not mean Dievet, both of them, but the language over there, right, means Bidievet, that you can't stay married, right? You need to give a get. Right? It's you have to give a get out of me suffix from both cases. Is that back to him? Well, no say the chachila mashma. That no, that he can marry, meaning that implies the chachila, meaning that it's for sure a vow day marriage. Lo nisa de'evin nami lo. But when he said lo nisa, that is also b'di'evin, meaning you can't even b'di'evin, but he's not allowed to stay married, and we need to have a get over there. The first part of the Mishnah can be l'chachil, and the second part of the Mishnah can be b'di'evin. If I have the Tani Sefer, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Adrogonus Chayiv, and I love Kskil, Kazachar. 1 second. When Rabbi Elazar says that Adrogonus is Chayiv for skila, for mishkav zachar, right? If you sleep with him, right? Mishkav zachar, mikhal tanakama sugim safkale. But again, that seems to imply that the tanakama, the first tanas in the Mishnah, right, hold that androgynous is a suffix male. As Gemara says, no, bin lamar, mifshe pshitale, right? Imanusha. No, everybody assumes that androgynous is definitely halachically a male. And you can be nice, skila mishne makomos. The machlokes between tanakama and Rabbi Elazar, it's not whether he's a suffix male or a definite male. Kasha is, where do you get skila for sleeping with an androgynous? Again, androgynous has both male and female parts. So the Mar Sava, Tanakama holds the Chayven of Skila Mishne Makomos. You get Skila Mimanushach, right, from either one, from either hole, to be a little bit more graphic. Or Mar Sava, because Zachar, Rabbi Elazar holds you're only going to be Chayven for sleeping him with Mishkav Zachar from behind. And that's the only case where you're going to get Skila, because he is, in fact, halachically a male. Okay, we're going to stop with that. We'll go right to obviously the Hilya Shas tomorrow. Very excited. Almost done with the, yeah, that's tomorrow. We'll finish the Perek, I assume. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, Pashas will finish the Perek tomorrow. Very exciting. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.